Previously on Rolling on Fate.
Dear Archmage Trillia, I am writing to tell you of a peculiar phenomenon that appeared near the party the other day. And I use the word appeared quite precisely. It was an apparition, or several to be exact, taking the form of spirits. When I attempted to talk with them, asking if there was anything we could do to help, they merely said, "You can help by dying." Not an ideal situation, really, but we will work with it. I do not anticipate taking the spirit's request literally, and the implications for data gathering are extraordinary. I cannot deny that I'm eager to learn as much as possible. We are bound further down the road, where surely we will encounter more of these apparitions. My quill is poised at the ready, and I have the Mortimer in prime working condition. The data will be headed your way as soon as I have them. Yours, most sincerely, Nortrude. P.S. B requests more pumpkin seeds be sent at your earliest convenience. And please do send them soon. You know how he gets without his snacks.
Hey, this is Jacob, and I'm everyone's third favorite sea elf, Peleus the Lucky.
My name is Kit, and I play Taylor Grangers.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I play Nortrude the Research Mage.
I'm Garrett, and I'll be playing Marion Kind.
I'm Jen, and I play Fanula.
And I'm Matt, your DM.
Well, we can head a little bit further in and go towards the mountains and maybe find a spot there. We can drop the cart off and poke around a little bit. I believe the last two rifts we found were in the middle of in the nighttime anyways, so it'd be kind of par for the course for us to stumble around in the dark and find one.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
You guys continue on northward. As you get closer to the mountains, about two more hours pass and the sun is about ready to set. Do you want to continue on or not?
Do we think we're close to it or not?
Close to what? Close to Nortrude's map?
Yeah, Nortrude thinks the rift is.
It seems like it's a little bit more ways. I mean, it seems like it's on the side of the mountain is where they sort of triangulated, pinpointed it, but...
And how far away is the side of the mountain, air quotes?
You guys are basically at the base.
I mean, I'm fine to continue venturing, but I wasn't poisoned earlier, so... Taylor, how you feeling?
I don't feel great, but... I can keep going. I mean, I can see all right and don't have any complaint if we keep walking for a while. Helps take my mind off of the burning lungs. Plus, I can ride in the cart.
This is very true.
Yes. Yeah, I have dark vision, so I don't mind.
Yeah, it seems reasonable. Let's keep adventuring.
All right. Who is going to be on watch versus who is, like, not paying attention in the back of the cart?
I'll keep watch.
I'll watch.
I mean, I was going to steer the cart and watch, so I'm assuming we're all kind of paying attention at this point.
The three of you, give me perception checks.
I got a natty one.
I got 23.
Natural one for Fanula, 23 for Taylor.
And a 22.
And a 22. As you guys are moving along, there is a few more dead trees and bushes along this mountainside. And as you round another sort of like lump in this hill, Taylor and Peleus, you can see what seems to be four blue amorphous blobs in the distance. This time they're already about like 60 feet away from you.
Well, I'll slow the cart to a stop. Having learned how to do that today. hey, everybody, we have... more ghost friends up ahead. And I point at said ghost friends.
Well, maybe they won't attack us this time. We can go.
It seems like the attacks of the last one didn't do much anyway. But yeah, and how would you like to approach this? Should we walk up, chat again, just throw fire at them?
We can walk up and see if they'll talk to us. Do you think they just turn into... people that we've killed, or they were like that before we get there?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe we should ask.
Yeah, let's ask.
Maybe we send one person out first and that'll kind of tell us.
I thought you said that was a bad idea.
Well, now we actually know what we're looking for here.
Or I should say, in this case, a desired response. We also know that they're not incredibly, incredibly dangerous, if these are the same things.
Well, I'll go out if one of you spellcasty types will catch my back.
I'll go with you.
Maybe we'll see if they pick a ghost from our past, huh, Marion?
Yeah. Second guessing this idea now. All right, let's go.
You got some skeletons in your closet, Mr. Cleric?
Church don't worry about it.
Doesn't cast no shadows?
No, don't worry about it.
All right, what are the rest of you doing? Just like standing by the cart watching them?
How far away is this?
60 feet.
Oh, psh, that's so close. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm going to try and make sure the horses don't get too spooked by this.
Yeah, I'll get off Celery and like let her go eat some grass or whatever she wants.
The rest of you all are staying back at the cart. The sun has pretty much set by this time, and the amorphous blue blobs are glowing and cast a tiny bit of glow on the ground wherever they are. And you can see as you're walking up to them, they are like different shapes and sizes. Taylor and Marion, as you start walking forward, the four blobs split into two groups. Two of them move off to the right, and Taylor, your attention is drawn towards those two, and they sort of form together. And Marion, the other two move off to the left and sort of circle towards you, and they start forming together. Marion, as these two shapes form together and they start coming closer. Again, the same thing happens where they become more distinct and start forming a humanoid shape and they move towards you. Except this time it is a lot shorter than the human and elf that you saw last time. You see a dwarven boy around the age of 20. He's in a tattered brown and red uniform with the symbol of the Durdas military on his front chest. He carries a crude musket. Amesley had rifles before, but this is like a musket. Old school rifle. He has a stab wound in his chest, and he gets to about 10 feet away from you, and he says,
"You killed me, and I died for what reason? I barely knew how to use this thing."
And he lifts up the musket.
"And all of your magics and mechanical monstrosities, what am I supposed to do?"
And then
you stabbed me.
And he looks down at his gut wound, his hand covering it.
"And left me there to die."
He aims his gun at you, Marion. Taylor, at the same moment, you're watching these two blobs move off to the left. But instead of coming towards you, they seem to dart away from you. And there's some bushes and trees off in the distance. And it seems to head in that direction. They both form together. And Taylor, you see as this image sharpens, and right before it goes behind the cover of these trees and bushes, you see the fleeting perspective of a tall, slender woman with long hair. And in the faintest, in your ear, you hear,
"Daddy?"
And you don't see it anymore. Marion, roll initiative.
4.
Okay. Everyone at the cart sees this dwarven boy level a musket at Marion and fires. And there's this plume of just bluish smoke that comes out of the barrel of the gun. And a 10's going to miss you. And you see this dark blue bullet fly right past your head, Marion. And then you quickly see the dwarven boy frantically trying to get out a powder horn, shove it into the barrel of the gun, and reload it. What do you do?
All the time in the world, and you still couldn't shoot straight with that thing. And I'm going to cast Sacred Flame on him.
Okay. He needs to make a dexterity saving throw?
Yes.
Ugh. He got a natural 20. That's your action?
And then, you know what? Screw it. I'll burn a sorcery point to do a quickened spell, and I will cast it again.
Okay. That time, he only gets a 5.
All right. That is a total of 9 points of damage, of radiant damage.
9 radiant damage.
Yes.
Okay.
So he's standing there, and I just kind of raise my arm up and close a fist, and it just kind of envelops him in a pillar of white fire, just like somebody burning flash paper. Just
he screams, and he drops the rifle that he was frantically trying to reload. And you can see now he is even more battered than before. Tears are running down his eyes. Then he turns to you.
Why? I don't even know what we're doing.
And he pulls a knife from his side. He steps forward and he tries to swing at you, but he's going to automatically miss. He's too distraught. And I mean, it's your turn again.
Is he within 5 feet of me?
Yeah, totally.
All right. I will use a bonus action to cast Wrathful Smite on my fist, and I will take a swing at him.
Okay, roll the hit.
That's a 19.
You hit.
Okay. For however you want to partition this out, that is 9 points of physical damage and okay. 4 points of psychic damage. And it must make a wisdom saving throw or be frightened.
Okay. Your fist impacts with the dwarven boy, and you can see just the energy behind your fist. Not your fist itself, but that psychic damage forms with the spectral being of his chest. You see this purple energy around your fist start to form and swirl into the blue energy of this spectral boy. And he looks at you one last time, and he still says,
"Why?"
And he fades away. Taylor, what do you do?
I go after her.
Okay. You run the 30 feet towards the tree, and you don't see anything. You can give me a perception check if you would like to keep looking.
Yeah, I will do the perception roll. That's a nat 20.
Whoop.
Okay.
Do I see the invisible ghost?
Taylor, you get to the tree and you're frantically looking around, seeing whatever you can see. And you look up towards the mountainside north of you, and about 40 feet away, you just barely get this glimpse of the long blue spectral hair go behind another tree. And again, you hear,
"Anna?"
What do you do, Taylor?
I keep going.
The rest of the party, you guys see, you're a little bit distracted with maybe Marion's fight, but you see Taylor run behind a tree and vanishes. Are the rest of you doing anything? You are about 90 feet away from Taylor, or where Taylor vanished, rather.
I look over to Peleus, I guess, whoever's next to me. Maybe we should follow Taylor. I'm not sure where he's going.
Why don't you go on ahead and try to find him, and I'll take care of the cart and the horses.
Okay, works for me.
Yes, I'll go with you, Fenilla.
Okay, let's go.
So I'm going to bring the cart up the path, just, you know, guiding the poor little horses along while everyone else goes and fights spooky ghosts. So
are you headed towards, like, Marion?
Yeah, at this point, okay. I'm just going to walk up toward Marion.
You guys are about 90 feet away, so you're pretty far behind Taylor. Taylor, you get up to the next set of bushes and trees where you think you saw her. Roll another perception check.
Is this considered difficult terrain?
Because
if so, sure. They are going to be way behind me.
Okay.
That was smug.
That's also true.
Just saying. I mean, it's part of the whole, like, I am doing rangery stuff right now.
Like backflips and stuff?
Forest parkour.
Hardcore parkour.
parkouring off the trees.
Okay.
Waddling along on his raccoon paws.
I'll also say, I'll say you're in your favorite terrain, if that matters for perception
checks. That does. All right, that is a 27. I rolled a 19.
Jesus.
All right, here we go.
Advantages.
50 feet away this time. You see her. You see your daughter, the one that you've been looking for so long now. You just see her face, and she is looking at you. And she turns again and runs behind a tree.
Taylor's just going to scream Melissa at the top of his lungs and continue chasing after her.
Where am I? Daddy!
You're running.
Yep.
Yeah, Taylor's...
Can we even see him anymore?
So by the time that you guys get around the trees, pretty much at the point where you lost Taylor, it's going to become difficult terrain. And you guys see Taylor as he gets up to another set of trees and bushes, and he's another 50 feet away from you. Taylor, you get behind this tree. You see nothing. Give me another perception check.
I rolled another 19. 27.
Oh, my gosh.
God damn it.
There's nothing for you to find. Stop looking.
He doesn't know that.
This time, another 60 feet up the hill, there's an even larger stand of trees that just seems to be by itself. And you see the end of her arm and hand and long hair whip behind and going into this stand of trees. And again, you hear,
Daddy.
Taylor's just going to kind of catch his breath for a second and then kind of move a little more slowly up towards that stand of trees.
Fanula and Nortrude, are you guys doing anything? You can see him right now.
If he's yelling his daughter's name, like, I probably would just make sure I wait to, like, see exactly what I'm shooting at.
Okay. Yeah. You can't see what he's chasing at all. You can only see him.
Okay. Taylor, where are you going? I don't know if he'll be able to hear us or not.
This time, just give me a normal perception check, Taylor.
Okay. I rolled a one.
Nope.
That's great. This is great. I feel like it's in par like what you're doing.
Yep, it is so, all or nothing. So total. You cannot hear them calling out to you at all. Fanula or Nortrude, I'm assuming you guys are moving forward.
Yeah, I'll look at Nortrude like, is he deaf?
Can I cast, like, message to him? Because he has to be within 120 sure. feet.
He's within 120 feet?
Okay, cool. Fanula, I will try to send a message to Taylor.
Oh, great idea.
All right. So I cast my little spell, whispered, Taylor? Taylor, can you hear me? It's Nortrude.
Nortrude?
Yeah. Yes, it's me. What are you doing? What did you see? Can we help you?
I saw Melissa.
Melissa? Your other daughter.
I'm chasing her.
Okay, did you see her? Did you see a ghost?
I think it's her. I'm almost there. It might be her.
Okay, well, Fanula and I are a little slower than you, but we're going to keep hurrying, and we're going to try to catch up.
Okay.
Taylor, during this talk, are you still running towards the trees?
Yeah, because this is occurring before that final bit of trees, right? Or is that...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So he's started. He's just still chasing.
Okay, by the end of that conversation, you're at the trees.
Okay.
Give me another perception check at advantage.
That one is a 22.
This time, you're frantically looking around, and you don't see anything. But off in the distance, floating towards you, you hear...
Dada.
And it's hard to pinpoint exactly where it came from.
Taylor's going to just search around the trees where he's at and see if there's anything telling of her being there. But it's kind of settling in that it's not really her. And so he's kind of just kind of slowly sort of take in what's around him and like kind of come back to reality.
Eventually, you slow your pace and slow your frantic searching, and you turn around to the edge of the forest and you see Nortrud and Fionnuala standing there.
I wave and like, come back.
Taylor walks back over towards Fionnuala and Nortrud, and he's not really making eye contact, but it's pretty obvious that he is sobbing. And he's just going to keep walking back towards the cart. And yeah.
Fionnuala will give, like, we'll follow behind you, I guess. Fionnuala will give Nortrud, like, an awkward, like, what should we do look.
Well, I think we should make him a cup of tea. And we'll go there.
That's a great idea.
Peleus and Marion, are you guys doing anything?
Yeah, heading off towards where Taylor went into the trees.
Yep, still leading the car to horses. I mean, not a whole lot we can do with these guys.
They're already walking back away from the stand of trees by the time that you both see them.
I'll walk up to them. What happened? Taylor?
I think he, the Willow Whisper, whatever these things are, showed him his daughter, so... But I think they're just, like, I don't know, not real.
Well, wasn't she lost in the Sun Rift?
I don't remember.
No, it was the Celestial Rift.
Yeah, I think it was that.
That was the last time I saw her, Marion. But for years, it almost feels like for years, all I heard was, Dad, you're wrong. She's dead. But I've always held out this thought that she made it out or that she's still alive. And it's been so long, but to hear her voice in my head, to think I was on her heels, just overwhelmed me. And I know that wasn't her.
Well, I think that's the important thing.
I don't think she's dead.
Yeah, like if these are will-o-wisps or something like them, they just try to trick you. That, I mean, I wouldn't... Yeah, if you think she's not dead, I would go with that.
What did you see, Marion?
A casualty. Nothing important. Nothing earth-shattering.
But someone from your past?
I mean, I wouldn't even go that far. It was a pathetic attempt to trade on my, mercies? I don't get to choose who gets chewed up in the gears of history. And I'm certainly not going to think twice about something I already did once before.
Well, we'll be more prepared for them next time. And you won't have to come get me.
Marion, did it damage you at all? Because I noticed when it hit my illusion, it didn't destroy it like it should have.
Well, I'll just say this. He wasn't a good shot in life, and he sure as hell didn't get any better after he was dead. So no, I'm fine.
We don't know if they can even hurt us, right?
No, maybe next time they'll choose something that's a little bit more skilled. Nortrud, maybe you got somebody in your past that's got a little bit more gumption to go after you.
I mean, there's always that possibility, but we'll see. I mean, let's see, we have someone from your past, someone from Taylor's past.
We should get Peleus up there. I know there's somebody that'll want to hit him.
You're still very much alive, Marion. I don't think they're going to get ghosts of you. Is everyone okay? physically, emotionally. I know, Taylor, you look a little jarred. I missed what happened, you know, tending with the horses, my new best friends for life. But should we talk it over dinner? Maybe get some rest?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can make stew for everyone.
We're talking stew with actual meat in it this time, right?
Like vegetables. What meat do you have?
It's like meat, but from plants.
Yeah, exactly. What Taylor said. Mushrooms are quite.
I'm gonna go find
filling.
Some.
Why, hello there, and welcome to the intermission of episode 30. Just a few announcements here before we get back on to this dramatic episode. First off, we got some really good news. We are changing our upload schedule to now release an episode every 2 weeks. So every other Wednesday, we are releasing a Rolling on Fate episode. So you get to hear from us more often. Hot off the press, we just created and released our very own Rolling on Fate Discord server. It is live now, so you can head on over to our socials or website and find the link to get onto that Discord server. There you can read all the introductions, introduce yourself, see announcements about when episodes are released, and about any other Patreon content or anything else that we feel like you guys need to know about. You can talk about all things Rolling on Fate. There's a specific spoiler conspiracy theory section. You can ask us any questions. You can talk about D&D 5e or any other RPG games. There's quite a lot out there. And Garrett is going to be on this Discord server all the time, and he has a wealth of knowledge about RPG games, so you can pick his brain about anything. You can find other like-minded people to play online RPG games with. And we have categories for books, cosplay, wildlife, whatever. Just go on. You can chat with us and other Rolling on Fate fans and just have a good time. At the end of this episode, you'll hear from our friends, Knights of the Roll Table, and From Afar Podcast. So make sure to keep listening all the way to the end of this episode. If you have a podcast or product or service that you would like to have advertised, come find us on our socials, on our Discord, or rollingonfate.com, and we'll chat. Thank you to our reviewer, Andrew Palmer, on Podchaser. Head on over to iTunes or Podchaser and go give us a review. Helps us out a lot. Thanks. Episode 31 is going to be released Wednesday, August 26th. And I hope you're all doing safe and well. Now, back to our regularly scheduled program.
Matt, is there enough space in this whatever?
Yeah, okay, you guys can find a good clearing where you can set up a camp. The moon has already risen, so you guys are setting up camp. Marion, if you want to try and hunt something, you can.
Yeah.
Give me a survival roll.
Can I go hunting with Marion?
And like, sure, watch? Yeah.
You know what? I will watch.
I was going to make you a cup of tea, whatever.
I'll come back to that cup of tea. This will help clear my head more than anything else.
We could boil water, and I'll make some carrot soup while they're gone.
All right.
I still have 10 pounds of carrots. Here, I'll put it down.
Expensive soup.
I'll put it down to 5 pounds.
Liquid gold.
Liquid gold. that is a 12.
Taylor, are you like trying to help, or are you literally just like watching Marion do this?
No, I'll help.
You can either roll or he can roll at advantage.
I'll roll. And do I get advantage since I'm in the forest?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Well, I did just as bad. I got 12 because I rolled a 4.
That one was just for practice.
So you two are walking through the forest, not really speaking to each other, still thinking on what just happened, especially Taylor. And I think you're both just far too distracted.
Hey, I'm passive-aggressively ignoring what happened. Thank you very much.
And in your subconscious, you are just far too distracted. And even if you find trails of animals, you are not able to see or catch any of them. And that's going to take, 45 minutes to an hour. So you guys decide if you want to keep doing this or not.
I keep going.
I'll keep going.
Okay. Marion roll and Taylor rolls at advantage.
16.
Not 20.
Yeah.
Okay, with that,
you
I think
can help us carry it back.
Taylor spots.
We kill celery.
Oh no.
I would not be happy with that.
There we go. Uh-oh.
We never see elk this low this time of year.
Revivify. Thing happened.
Better.
Taylor, you see a small deer species, and you guys make a sort of coordinated attack and trap it and are able to get it.
I'll carry it back.
You can take credit for it.
Team effort.
All right. After about an hour and a half, the two hunters come back. But is there anything the rest of you are doing in the party?
I'm sleeping after having eaten carrot stew.
It was delicious, I'm sure.
It was fantastic. It was the most expensive meal I've ever consumed. By sleeping, I mean I'm just in a trance, doing elf things.
I'm going to feed celery some carrots. I'll give her carrot soup that was left over.
Well, I'm setting up the tent, or I set it up already.
Peleus, you need to give me a constitution saving throw.
Oh, God. What was in this stew?
What? I didn't put any of that stuff in there.
20.
Okay. You're fine. You're fine.
Matt, I didn't put anything in it.
Cool. Thanks for letting me know.
While I'm sitting in my tent, I'm going to copy down Alter Self from the scrolls into my own personal mage book.
And eventually, Taylor and Marion walk up to the camp. A fire's already been set. There's already a hot pot of water and a pot of carrot stew. And Peleus seems to be in a trance, Nortrude in her tent, and...
I'll be sitting by the fire, stirring the soup.
You know what this needs? Meat. And I will start...
What kind of meat is
cleaning
it?
The carcass. Taylor, what kind of meat is this?
Game meat. Some kind of small ungulate.
You shot something and you don't even know what it is.
I'll make a nature check.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is a wild animal. I got an 18.
It closely resembles a dik-dik, which is like a African...
It's like the cutest thing you've ever seen.
Like
it's as dik-dik. Delicious as it is cute.
D-I-K-D-I-K.
You just had to pick dik-dik, didn't you, Matt?
It was the smallest one you could find.
Catch us in season 2 when we catch a booby.
Oh, man.
I don't think those would taste good either.
You begin dressing the meat and start cooking it.
We'll spit roast it.
I think we got a game plan going. I'm liking this. This wrote this some bitch.
A game plan?
Mm-hmm.
Fanula is going to purposely feed the rest of the soup to celery.
Well, before you do that, Fanula, could I have a little bit more?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, thank you.
I think we'll take first watch. I mean, it's going to take a while. We've got to dress and cook everything. Sure. May as well make use of the time.
Yeah.
We won't be very good at it, but...
Like, what? As Marion focuses on the dik-dik, I will focus on watching, not the dik-dik.
Nortrude, are you falling asleep?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a constitution saving throw, Nortrude.
11.
Okay. Nortrude, you fall asleep?
And never wake up.
Oh, God.
I know, this makes me nervous, Matt.
I guess I'll fall asleep not noticing anything different about them sleeping, right?
Nobody notices the souls of the damned dragging Nortrude away.
Yeah.
One of us.
Taylor, give me a perception check.
Perception. With advantage or not?
No. Marion, Taylor, cleaning the meat. Nortrude's getting dragged out of her tent by, like, Hellspawn. And we're like, oh, there she goes. Huh, that was weird. You see that? Sure did.
I rolled a 13, so that's a 21.
Okay. You see nothing of note. Yeah, who's on second? Peleus?
Me.
If we need another person, I can be on second watch.
As Taylor and Marion go to sleep, both you need to give me constitution saving throws.
I rolled a 19, so that's a 21 total.
I rolled an 8. Bring on the nightmares. The existential dread.
Taylor, as you're going to sleep, it's a little bit harder to go to sleep this night. You have thoughts of your daughter, of Melissa, and it's just thoughts that are spinning around in your head. Where is she? Is she still alive? Does this mean she's dead? What's going on? Why can't I save her? But eventually, you fall asleep. Marion, Mr. Cool Guy, you have a very unrestless sleep.
Unrestless?
You mean,
awesome.
You mean restless?
Bring on. Rest thanks for the night. Double negative.
Sorry.
Oh, restless. Goodness. I'm so unrestless. Sorry.
I'm so unrestless right now.
You, as you're going to sleep, you have nightmares of your time down in Duradas, of the constant magics and mechanisms of both militaries fighting each other, of the people caught in the crossfire, and of the ones that you had to kill in the line of duty to save your own life, including the dwarven boy. And you cannot sleep. I mean, you are sleeping, but not really. You're constantly tossing and turning.
I cannot sleep. That's okay.
And then Peleus and Fanula roll perception.
13.
22.
Fanula, you see four blue lights all drifting in your direction on the other side of the campfire from you, and they slowly keep coming closer.
I poke Peleus. I'm like, Peleus, do you see that?
Do I see it?
You see it now that she pointed it out.
I do see it. More ghost friends.
Yeah. What should we do? Shoot them?
No. Let's
blasts?
Just see what they're going to do to us this time, and maybe we can try and glean what they are, why they're here.
It's a good idea.
The four amorphous specters float towards you guys as you are sitting/standing around the fire, I'm guessing.
I'm doing both, yes.
Yeah.
I think that's called crouching.
Mm-mm.
As they get closer, about within 30 feet of you, they too start to morph and change, and this time they grow in size.
I'll call out to them in like a whisper call so I don't wake up everyone else. What do you want from us?
Both of you see these four blurry creatures that are standing on two legs. And as they come closer, they become more distinct, and you see hair covering their bodies. One drags a large maul behind it, and one of the four looks very different. Its body is almost falling apart as it's decaying, and it shambles closer to you. One with a jagged broadsword looks at you, Fanula, and points.
Look. The ones killed us, and we were being controlled. No hesitation. No mercy. Revenge.
And I need both of you to roll initiative.
Can I whisper to Peleus first?
Sure.
And be like, do you remember who these were that we killed?
Who are these guys?
They look like bugbears, by the way.
Yeah, oh, okay. I'm assuming they're the bugbears that John lit on fire by being John.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think I actually did much damage to any of them.
You tried chasing the necromancer down most of the time. So.
And it failed at Witch Bolt a couple times.
Right.
I think I tried it both times. Initiative, okay.
7, Matt.
I got a 10.
The 4 bugbears move forward, and they start diverting their attention. The one with the maul heads towards Peleus. The one with the broadsword heads towards Fionnuala. And the other two seem to be headed towards Marion and Taylor, who are both still sleeping. For reference, Taylor has the decaying one headed towards it, and the last one doesn't seem to have any weaponry, and it's heading towards Marion. And they're not going to be able to attack those two on the ground, but they will attack Fionnuala and Peleus. Here's the maul on Peleus. 14.
Misses.
Misses. Fionnuala. The broad sword, even worse, 7.
Nope.
Also misses. Up next, Fionnuala, your turn.
Okay, I am going to try casting a spell. I'll look over to see where Marion and Taylor are sleeping and see that those two ghosty things went over there. Mm-hmm. And the one towards Marion, I'm going to cast a spell on it that they need to succeed on a wisdom saving throw.
What's the spell?
Crown of Madness.
Fionnuala, you see summoned upon the head of this bugbear is this crown of long thorns and bramble, and it stops for a second, but then it shakes its head. It seems like the spell should have taken effect, but it's not.
Dang it, my other spell worked.
And the crown fades, and the redness fades from its eyes, and it's still reaching out towards Marion.
That's them. Well, I'm going to use my movement now to run in front of them and, like, gently kick Marion in the face to wake him up.
Okay, I'll allow that as a bonus action.
Do I notice that Taylor's, like, looking, like, awake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Marion, you are awakened at this time.
Ah, son of a bitch! Oh, this is just getting fucking stupid.
Peleus, your turn.
Got some, like, fungus in your mouth for my foot.
Oh, yeah. That's gnarly. Matt, they all look like every other specter we've seen so far today, right? Even the, like, decaying one is kind of, like, blue.
They are all the blue shade, like, incorporeal see-through. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to talk to the one, I guess, that's approaching me with the hammer. Or that's the one that got me and missed terribly. And try and persuade it to stop. I'm sorry that we defended ourselves against you and the person controlling you before. But we don't have a quarrel with you. Is there any reason we should fight now? And I don't have any weapons in hand. I'm not prepping any spells visibly or anything like that. I'm just kind of genuinely trying to talk to the spirit.
The bugbear looks at you and says,
"That's not good enough."
And are you going to do anything else in your turn?
It's not good enough. boy. I don't know. I mean, I think I'll just stand here and already an action, I guess, with the rapier. If I'm physically hurt by an attack by this spooky ghost man, bugbear, I want to attack with my rapier.
Okay. Bugbear's turn. The bugbear on you with the maul swings. 13?
Nope.
Fionnuala, you went over to the bugbear with no weapon. It's instead going to do a double slash on you with its claws. Does a 14 hit?
No.
Okay. Then the other one with the broadsword followed you, Fionnuala. Going to take a swing at you, Fionnuala. Dang, they suck at rolling. Another 13, which misses. Then the decaying one. Taylor, you are alert, so it does not get advantage on this, but it is trying to slam down onto you. Does a 15 hit?
Nope.
They have still not successfully hit any of you. Fionnuala, it's your turn.
Okay, well, I noticed that Peleus tried to talk them out of it, and they didn't do it, and they still kept attacking, right?
Right, and you heard their response.
You'll see Nuala's fingers, nails, and teeth to sharpen, and then look like glistening-y, like they have like poison on them or something. And I'm going to just swipe at it, the one in front of me. 25.
Yeah, you hit.
7 acid damage.
Okay. You see as your claws impact with the spectral bugbear in front of you, and it dissipates away from you. It dissipates. It's gone.
Okay. There's still the other one that's in front of Taylor, though, right?
And another one at Marion. Yeah, which is right next to you.
Wait, there's two at Marion?
There is one. Yep. One followed you, so.
Oh, well, then I'll just stand in between the other one and Marion.
Okay. Peleus, your turn.
And it's still right in front of me with the maul.
Mm-hmm.
The completely useless maul.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to attempt to talk to it again. What wasn't good enough? Why are you attacking us?
You killed us. Unrest.
I mean, I didn't kill any of these things. I was very useless in combat back then, to be honest. But, okay.
You're looking
I'm
for
going
John.
To. Yeah, you're looking for the other guy. The glowy one. I'm just going to continue standing here in front of him. Unarmed, but again, ready an action to attack with the rapier if I physically take damage from an attack.
Okay. Taylor and then Marion.
Taylor's going to get to his feet and stare at the decaying bugbear.
I'm sorry I killed you. What was I supposed to do?
Taylor, you see the decaying form of the bugbear in front of you. Half of its face is gone, and you can see the lighter blue of bone beneath his skin, and it looks into your eyes, and then it nods, and you can see it fade away, but it fades away differently than when they were killed by attacks. You see it dematerialize and slowly fade out of existence, and then you can hear this, and it slowly fades away.
I swore I heard in my head when I said that, that you were going to respond with, okay, roll for sincerity.
Marion, your turn. And Nortrud, by this time, you're also going to be awake by the commotions happening outside your tent.
So those earplugs weren't working the way I hoped?
Unless you would like to be asleep. Yeah.
No, I will wake up. It seems prudent.
Yeah, Marion, your turn.
Do I have enough room to stand up, or is it like standing over me?
It's because distracted like by Fenula, so yeah. So you could stand up if you wish.
All right, I'll stand up and taking my cue from Taylor and say, well, if it's anything to you, we revenge you. He's dead. And I'll hold out the rod, which probably they would have seen.
Revenge is not good enough.
Fuck it, I tried. And I'll cast Sacred Flame. Enough of this touchy-feely bullshit. Eat shit and die.
As a dexterity saving throw, right?
Yeah.
Natural 5, so gonna fail.
That is a total of 11.
You see your pillar of flame engulf it, and you hear... And it fades out of existence. Nortrud, you get to the flap of your tent and open it up.
Forget the sincerity Care Bear bullshit.
And you see a ghostly figure immolated in white flame. And you see one more spectral being in front of Peleus. And Peleus is just standing there. Sword sort of at the ready, but doesn't seem like he is attacking this bugbear with them all. You can act.
Okay. Well, I will cast Fire Bolt at it.
Roll to hit.
Okay, 17.
You hit.
Yes. roasty toasty.
Can I stand in front of the firebolt or no?
No.
Hold on.
I'm serious.
Yeah. If you're paying attention to the battlefield, I think that you are with the way that you're doing. Yeah, you can see Nortrud pop out of the tent and you can see the firebolt coming. If you wish, you can step in front of the firebolt.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So then do I roll your damage? Kill Peleus? I got 13.
Ow.
13 damage to Peleus. The one bugbear that's left, the one with the maul, lifts its maul again and is staring at you, Peleus.
Fight me!
And it swings. 15.
That would hit.
Peleus, you see the maul come collide with your body, but phases right through you. And you feel a little chill, but no damage happens to you. Vanilla, your turn. You watch as Peleus does nothing as the maul glides right through him.
And he doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it hurt him, even though he's like dripping bits of flame.
Correct. It looks like the maul did not hurt him. But yes, it does look like the firebolt hurt him.
Am I 30 feet from Nortrud?
Yeah. You're almost right next to Nortrud.
Okay, like I'll go over to Nortrud and can I talk to her for a second?
Sure.
Hey, Nortrud, I know you just woke up. This is a weird fight. I don't think those guys can actually hurt us. So I think Peleus is trying something. So maybe lay off on the firebolt again, and unless the thing looks like it's actually going to hurt him.
Okay. Do you know what he's trying to do?
Talk with them. He's been talking with them. It doesn't look like it's been going very well, but he seems very insistent upon it. So I'm just going to like let him do his thing.
All right.
Peleus, your turn.
Okay. Still standing here talking to the ghostly bugbear. Yeah, a little bit more burned than when I started. I'm sorry for what we did to you on the battlefield. If we had known that you were under control, we wouldn't have attacked you at all. And I will kneel on fire.
Peleus, you look up at the bugbear, who is now towering over you. And its eyes meet yours. It bows its head. And you hear a very soft,
thank you.
And it begins to slowly fade out of existence, particles just flying away from it until it is completely dissipated and gone.
And then I throw a Pokeball at it and try and catch a hunter.
Too late!
Ah! Damn it, it ran away.
Ah, it was a shiny, too.
I stand up and turn around to Nortrud and give her a thumbs up and go, that was a good shot.
Well, I'm glad you weren't too roasted.
Oh, it wasn't the first time I've been shot angrily by a woman with a fireball, so used to this sort of thing.
Well, good. What did the bugbear say to you?
A lot of angry growling and revenge, you know, the usual. And then I apologized to it, and it feathered away.
Interesting. I wonder if this is consistent. Like, if instead of trying to, re-murder all of the people that we've killed, perhaps we should talk to them and apologize? Interesting.
It seemed to work on the one that stood over me. Just said I'm sorry.
What if we're not sorry, though? Like, do you think they'll still go away?
Yeah, what if we just fake it?
You can test out that one next time, Arian.
Sounds good.
If you can...
Noted.
Bite your tongue enough to not be too cheeky when you say it. Or maybe we'll just...
I'll try it right now. I'm so terribly sorry, Taylor.
Well, we'll simply use Marion as the test for what happens if one is not sincere when apologizing.
That sounds like a plan to me.
I'd apologize to you, but I don't think you'd disappear.
Rude.
Should we go back to sleep?
That is, if we can sleep. I don't know. I had some bad dreams when I was trying to rest.
Maybe Nortrud can make you some chamomile tea.
Yes, we could all have a cup of tea, and I would like to remind you all that there is the small bunk room in the tent. If you wish to sleep there, the amount of time that you need for a full rest will be decreased, so you might find it more restful.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I'll go inside the tent and get some rest.
Don't worry, there are small bundles of cedar wood in there to dispel the smell of any burnt raccoon fur.
What about burnt sea elf?
Oh, though the burnt sea elf is a bit harder, but I think the cedar will mask it adequately.
You know, burnt sea elf is a delicacy in some islands.
For who?
Other sea elves. We're strange people.
Cannibal sea elf.
Well, it does kind of smell like a driftwood campfire. So it'll add to the ambiance.
Peleus does kind of smell like burnt sandalwood.
Very relaxing. Into the tent I go. I'm going to go rest up.
I'll go on watch still since I was in the middle of watch.
Okay. Marion, where are you sleeping?
I will go into the tent.
The tent room is sort of just like a bunk room with three bunk beds set up. So there's enough to sleep six people in bunks. And as you all go to sleep, Taylor, it still takes you a little while to fall back asleep, but you notice Marion is like constantly tossing and turning, and it doesn't seem like he goes to sleep before you fade off and go back to sleep.
Can I act on that?
If you wish, yeah.
I'm just going to go next to whatever bunk Marion's in and just kind of put my hand on her shoulder, kind of rest there.
Marion, give me another constitution saving throw.
15.
Okay. Taylor, as you put your hand on his shoulder, eventually he seems to stop tossing, and eventually he seems to fall asleep.
I'm just going to fall asleep sitting there.
Welcome, travelers. Seems like you're looking for a story. Well, I got one for you. It involves adventure, friendship, and all sorts of...
Earl, why don't you tell him about that time I stole that big-ass melon?
Yeah, I was going for more.
Or you could tell him about the time I kicked your ass, Earl.
I wouldn't ever tell him.
Do I need to get my ref gear on?
Okay, everyone, shut up. Now come with me as I tell you a story from afar.
Hey, everybody. My name's David. I'm the DM for From Afar Podcast. From Afar Podcast is all about four friends separated by distance, but brought together by adventure. Hope you all stop by and give us a listen. Thanks.
In a frontier town in the realm of Oakheart,
you have traveled into the town of Respite.
Four travelers.
We are going on an adventure.
A dwarf called Coach.
Coach, nobody wants to mine. That's what old people do.
You mean traditional?
Yeah.
You mean a worthwhile endeavor?
A half-elf performance artist.
So she takes out her
flower
drum, and she starts banging on it. Doom, 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 doom.
And all it does.
She's not very good.
A half-halfling, half-half-orc delivery person.
But I always go wherever you'll go. I mean, you'll need a guide.
And a rogue.
What? Come on, Steve, let's
XX Bloody Heart.
XX Bloody Heart, I mean, I think we should go with them.
Okay.
Please.
Can you just use my name?
We'll aid a stranger in need.
My daughter is missing.
They'll meet enemies and allies.
What's your name?
We'll say my name is Claws. David Claws.
He's a basilisk.
A basilisk? Oh, you know of the basilisk. I tell from your gasping that perhaps you have heard of the basilisk.
Are you lying again?
Yeah.
Leela, you gotta keep doing this.
I'm sorry. It's a really hard habit to break.
All my trust is just melting away.
I've never had friends before.
Where is he? Let me at him.
We didn't even roll initiative, Jerry.
You didn't leave anything for me.
They'll risk everything to defend the realms.
I just want you all to know that if we don't make it out of this, I have no regrets except for never getting to paint Coach.
Kevin jumps in and says, "We're not stopping for your paint coat. We've got to go, all right?"
From a terrifying threat.
That was Zach's natural laugh.
Join the Knights of the Roll Table.
When a basilisk poops, does the poop turn into stone instantly?
Only if it looks at it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Available on iTunes, Spotify, and all podcast platforms.